Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Open your Bible tonight, if you will, to the passage we went to this morning, not in Jeremiah, but in Hosea. Hosea chapter 14, if you will. Hosea chapter 14. While you're turning there, I might ask you to pray for our Christian school. We'll be starting, Lord willing, 2 weeks from tomorrow. We'll start our 46th year. And so we're looking forward to that. And it'd be all right if the Lord gives a few more students. So if you know somebody that ought to have their kids in a Christian school, encourage them to come our direction, all right? Encourage them to do that. Christian education, super important, all right?
Yes, sir.
Super important. All right, Hosea chapter 14. I want you to look at one verse, if you will. And I found out studying that I look at this verse different than every commentator I saw did. And you say, what does that mean? Well, either they're wrong or I am. Right now, I'd prefer to think they are, all right? But I do believe this. I don't believe I'm doing any injustice to the Scripture at all. Hope you'll see that tonight. Verse 8, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I've heard him and observed him. I'm like a green fir tree, for me is thy fruit found. I want you to notice especially there where it says, what have I to do anymore with idols? What have I to do anymore with idols? I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of I'm done with that. I'm done with that, okay? Ephraim is kind of interesting, especially in the book of Hosea. Ephraim is mentioned numerous times. We'll look at just a few of them, but throughout the book of Hosea, the 10 northern tribes of Israel are addressed really kind of through its corporate head as Ephraim. And a lot of things are said to and about Ephraim in this book. Look back with me, if you will, in chapter 5, okay? Chapter 5. Chapter 5, if you will, down in verse 3. Notice the Bible says, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. Verse 5, and the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. Down verse 9, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. Then look in chapter 6, down in verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Now, if you can't understand that, that means they didn't have much goodness, all right? It just kind of showed up, and then it was gone, you know, in a real quick order. Then chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. I read one place where a guy said that means they were half-baked, all right? Just kind of half-baked, all right? Look in chapter 11, verse 3. Chapter 11, verse 3. The Bible says, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. Man, a lot of things. And we just touched the hem of the garment in the book, but I want you to go back and look at chapter 4. In verse 17, all right? Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Now, I want you to think about that, all right? The beginning of this book says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. But you get chapter 14 and verse 8. And the Bible says, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? What have I to do anymore with idols? All right. Now, obviously, something happens to Ephraim. Something happens between chapter 4 and verse 17 and chapter 14 and verse 8. All right. Before those things are said, where in verse 17 of chapter 4, he's messing with idols, just leave him alone. Leave him with it. Just let him have it. All right. But man, we get to chapter 14, and what a blessing. Where Ephraim, the Bible says, shall say, what have I to do any more with idols, all right? Now, what in the world happened? Well, I want to look at this evening. I want you to consider it kind of this way, if you would. You as a Christian. And there's so many things in this whole world. And maybe things you messed with before you got saved. But our testimony ought to be, I'm done with that. Amen. I'm done with that. I found something better. Remember what the Bible said there in the book of Psalms where it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I was talking to my wife about, well, really wasn't about this, but it fits here. How many Dr. Pepper drinkers are there? All right, you like Dr. Pepper, okay? We're not going to preach against it. It's okay, all right? Dr. Pepper drinkers, there you go. How many of you Dr. Pepper drinkers have ever drank something like Dr. Thunder? You know, a takeoff on Dr. Pepper? How many have ever done that? Okay, here we are. You with me? You got you Dr. Pepper drinkers, Dr. Thunder, Dr. Pepper. Wouldn't you say with me, I've tried that Dr. Thunder, I'm done with that. Amen. I'm done with that. Give me the real thing, right? Give me what's really real. Hey, listen, you and I as Christians, we've tasted of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen how good He is. There ought to be something within us that says, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Look what happened. Here's what I believe took place. I believe what took place is that Ephraim, what we would say, Ephraim had a new birth. They got everlasting life. Look at the last part of verse 8, would you? It says, for I'm like a green fir tree. I'm like a green fir tree. A fir tree is an evergreen, all right? It is an evergreen. It stays green all year round. It's not like the pecan tree. I've got pecan trees in my yard. I've even got a live oak in my yard, and I've always thought, yeah, stay green all year round. Yeah, but, man, do they ever dump leaves, all right? And we know what oak trees do. We know what pecan trees do. They get a certain time of the year, get later in this year, and pretty soon the leaves will be turning. They fall off the tree, and the tree looks dead, right? Tree looks dead. Hey, you take a green fir tree, it never goes dormant. Never goes dormant. It doesn't lose its leaves. It just stands there, all right? I believe that's a wonderful picture of the child of God. Once you've been saved, all right, God gives you new life. Now, He didn't give it to you, so we go through stages where we become dormant, all right? It is to be a life that we live all the time. We're never to dry up, okay? We're never to stop growing. I've been out in California years ago. My brother and I, and we were vacationing, we drove in the Sequoia National Park and saw the giant sequoia trees. Those trees, hundreds and hundreds of years old. Big, they just keep growing, all right? They just keep growing. They're still green. They're still putting it out, all right? There they are. Hey, that's the life. That's what it ought to be for the child of God. We've got eternal life. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 that inward man is renewed every season. No, it says the inward man's renewed day by day. Day by day, all right? God just does a work in us, and we ought to be alive. We ought to be producing, and just those old fir trees, those evergreens, they keep putting out seeds. They keep putting out seeds to produce more trees, all right? We used to live in down in Georgia, and they had a lot of pine trees. Those pine trees, man, they produce those pine cones. Their pine cones are just producing seeds, all right? And that's that fir tree just keeps putting them out, all right? Keeps putting them out. Hey, because you've been born again, all right, and we have everlasting life, all right, because of that, hey, I'm done. I'm done with that old life. I'm done with that old way. I'm through with it because, notice that, why did it happen? Back in verse 8, notice what it says. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? Why? I've heard him. I have heard him. All right? I've heard him. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 17, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I have heard him. Look, I heard his word. I heard what he had to say. Listen, I've heard what men have to say. I've heard what men have to say. I've read their books, but I've read the book too. I've heard what he said to us, all right? I heard him calling me from a life of sin to a life of forgiveness. I heard that, all right? I've heard him. I've heard him speaking to me, all right? And what he had to say sounds so much better than what man puts out, all right? I've heard about how we came from, you know, just a tiny little speck in the universe, and there was a great explosion, and everything's been expanding out, and, somewhere or another, things developed, all right? And some people say, well, no, it's the nebular hypothesis. There was this cloud of dust, and it got to spinning, and stuff got stuck together, and man, one lump became the earth, and one lump became, you know, one of those planets, and the middle there came the sun, and it began to, glow from all that. Yeah, I've read that. I've heard that. But I've heard him. I've heard him. Hey, listen, I've heard him telling me how much he loves me. I've heard him telling me how much he loves me. But I think one of the greater songs there is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. What a wonderful, wonderful song. There's a song in our songbook, we don't sing it enough. I'm so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Hey man, I don't know about you, but I like to get a note from somebody that says, I love you. I like those things. I like it when my wife would send me a note, say that. She probably liked it when I do. I don't think either one of them have done it in a long time. But we tell each other, all right? We tell each other, but isn't it a good thing to get that note? Isn't it a good thing to get that, you know? I love in school. I loved it. And we haven't seen this in a while. Student body's changed, but I used to pick up notes from kids. And the kids, one kid in school would write another kid, and they'd write down there, I love you. Then they'd say, do you love me? And they'd put two boxes, yes, no, check one. Man. You know why? Because we want somebody to love us. Hey, well, listen, I've heard him. I've heard him telling me how much he loves me. I don't understand why he does, but sure, I'm glad he does. It's good to hear that, all right? It's good to hear it. I've heard him tell me about his love. Well, wait a minute. I've heard about his promises. I've heard the promises he has. Promises about life, both now and hereafter. I've heard those. I've heard what he said, all right? They're in his book. The blessings that he's promised, the purpose he has for us, the fulfillment that is available for us. I've read those promises. I've heard them, all right? I've heard those. What a wonderful thing that is. And man, I've listened to that, and I think about it. I've heard him telling about the rewards that he has for people that will serve him. I've heard the Holy Spirit of God that he gave me when I got saved that speaks to my soul from his word. Now, not some spooky thing. I've not been in the dark and thought, I think I heard somebody call my name. No, but the Holy Spirit on the inner man, all right, he tells me that I'm his child. I belong to him. I belong to him. What a wonderful thing. Haven't you heard him? Haven't you heard that? Listen, if that Holy Spirit of God never speaks to you, you ought to be a little bit worried, all right? Or be just a little bit worried. Man, I've heard those sayings, you know. And I've heard what he's had to say. I'm glad he tells me when I'm wrong. I'm glad he tells me how to get right. What a wonderful thing that is. I like that conviction, okay? I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through life and do whatever I want to, and God never put any conviction on me by my disobedience. I'm glad that he comes along and tells me, hey, you're wrong right there. You need to get right. What a blessing it is he does that. Hey, you know what? Because I've heard him, I'm done with that old life. I'm done with that. But not only have I heard him, look what the Bible says there, all right? He said, I've heard him, all right? But then it says, and observed him. Observed him. Now, what in the world is that talking about? To observe him. Well, that's to see him, all right? I've seen, I've watched, I've observed, and I know what's happening there, all right? Not only have I heard him, but I've observed him. Now, that's a blessing, folks. I've watched what he's done far and to those who love and obey him. Now, I don't know what you've been doing with your life since you got saved. I'm glad I got saved at a young age. I'm glad I got saved when I was a child. And I'm glad I grew up in church. And one of the things that I've done is watched people. And down through the years, Dad pastored in Georgia and Florida, and then here in Texas, and all those years. And in my childhood years, I spent them in those three places, and I watched people. I watched what happened to them, all right? Those that love and obeyed the Lord, all right? I've seen their happiness. I've seen their contentment. And I've just watched them go through life. I've seen the fulfillment they have in life. A life that they've spent, be able to say, no regrets. What a wonderful life. I've observed that, of how God has dealt with those people that'll love him and obey him and live for him. I've watched that. Hey, wait a minute, on the other hand, I've watched what happened to those who disregard his commandments and disobey his word. I've watched that too. I've watched how God's dealt with them. I mean, just watch what's taken place. Can I say this to you? Nothing that has happened to them has made me want to go through it. Nothing. Man, I've watched people shipwreck their lives. I'm just going to say this. I remember down in Florida when a few men got together and the church split. And it's a hard thing to endure. Hard thing to endure. As a kid, you know, you kind of, in a sense, wave goodbye for some friends. You weren't going to see them anymore. And I've seen that. But then I've seen what happened to those people that fought the pastor. I've seen the calamity and the tragedy that's come in their life. And I've watched it. Hey, and I've watched people that turn their back on God, maybe not necessarily fighting the pastor, but they turn their back on God and said, I'm going to go my own way. And man, what a tragedy it's been. Nothing there that's made me think, that's what I want. That's what I want. No, I've observed what God has done for those that obey. And I've also watched how he's handled those that disobeyed. Not only that, I've observed him as he's answered prayer. As he has answered prayer. Have you ever watched that? You ever think about it? What God done as he answered prayer for people? I've seen him heal people. Thank God Benny Hinn didn't have to be involved. Nobody like him had to be involved. God could take care of it. And God did it. I've seen some that he's pulled back from death's door because people were praying. People were praying. They got on their knees and prayed. Talking to Dr. Gipp when he was with us and about his pastor, and he told me, he said, the only reason I'm convinced, the only reason he's alive is because people prayed for him. Because, man, he went through it with COVID and had all kinds of problems in the hospital, intensive care and all that, but he's alive. Why? Because people prayed. Hey, I've watched what God has done. I've seen him restore lives. I've seen him. But one of the great joys of being a preacher's kid and being in church all the time is watching that old sinner come into church and get saved. And then watching God work in his life and change him. I mean, the appearance changed, the attitude changed, his outlook changed, everything changed because of watch what God could do for that one sinner that would let the Lord have his life and let him have his way. Oh, man, I've seen him do that. I've seen him restore marriages. Seen him put people back together. Now, the world would have said, that'll never happen. But it did. Why? I've observed him. I've observed him, all right? I've observed him as he's changed lives. What a blessing. I hear, and some of you, how God's work changed your life. What you could have been, what you used to be. But God's done a work. God's done a work in you and for you. What a blessing, all right? Hey, I've observed as he's opened the windows of heaven and poured out his blessings on me. I mean, just opened it up and poured them out, you know. Gave me beyond anything I could believe and have expected. God's been good, man. God's been good. I stand here and testify to that. God's been good. Boy, he takes care of us, and he's done it so many times in so many ways. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, here we are. I don't want to go back to any of that. I don't want to go back to any of that. Hey, because of what I've heard, because of what I've observed, I don't want anything to do with idols. Don't want anything to do with idols. Now, I know when we think of idols, we think of something made out of wood or stone, maybe, and carved by the hands of man. But I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of idols. I've heard somebody say this, and I don't know who, probably more than one. Really, anything that you let get between you and God and you think more of than you do of God, that's an idol. And sometimes, boy, it can be people. We let people get between us and God. We put a person ahead of God. We listen to that person more than we listen to God. There's people today that are famous in the internet realm and out in cyberspace. And I'm convinced there's people that have put them in a position higher than they have God. Hey, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. What a dreadful mistake people make. Hey, we make an idol out of an individual. Make an idol out of an individual. There's a TV show, American Idol. I've never watched it. Don't really know anything about it. But, boy, it's got a good title for our country. Really got a good title for the world because we make idols out of people. We make idols out of entertainers. And entertainers, they come and people go to concerts and they swoon and scream and all of that kind of stuff and carry on, I'm thinking. And if they, you know, touch me, I'm never going to wash my hand again. You know, you got to be kidding, all right? You've got to be kidding. We put that person in too high a position. Hey, not me, because I've heard him. I've observed him. We're not going to put anybody. There's people I like. Yes, there are. There's people I like. There's preachers I've enjoyed down through the years, and I've loved to hear them preach. But God help me, I never want to elevate one of them higher than the Lord, okay? Never want to do that. Some people do it with their career. They do it with their career. Their career assumes more importance to them than God does. And they let that go on, all right? And it's everything for that career, and I'm putting everything else on the back burner and everything else on the side. And you know, it's just all about that career, and I'm climbing the ladder in that career to success, you know. Boy, I just can't wait to get there. Watch out. Watch out. Now, some people like that sense of power and that sense of accomplishment. And it's not just about the money, but on the other hand, there's some people, this money becomes the idol they worship. Hey, the Bible tells us not to love it, okay? It tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people love it more than they do God. He said, why do you think that, preacher? Because I know some people that never go to church because they tell me I'm working. They never go to church. Ever. I don't tell you this. I wouldn't do that. Why? I've heard him. I've observed him. And you think I'm going to let something like that get ahead of him? No, I'm done with that, man. I'm done with that stuff, all right? Some people, it's not people. It's the fear of man. The fear of man keeps folks from being faithful. Keeps people from serving God because they've got a fear of man. Hey, sometimes it's just simple old earthly pleasure. can't, and it's got the preeminent place in the lives. We live in a day, man, where people pursue pleasure unbelievably. The truth of the matter is, even in this day and time where people say, well, you know, I'm having a hard time making ends meet. And we got two cars, a boat, and a camper. New home. And by the way, I'm not against any of those things. I'm not telling you a boat, that's a wicked sin. If you got one, good, you invite me to go fishing with you, all right? But I'm not against any of those. They're wonderful. You got a camper, no problem. It doesn't bother me. You got two, I hope you got two brand new cars. Fine, I got no problem. But let me say this, all right? We get in a position where it's all about pleasure. Preacher, not going to be, you know, I've done so well, I bought season tickets to the Cowboys. Yeah, pleasure. Pleasure. Oh, goodness. Just can't believe it, all right? But we'd put that in the place. Oh, man, I don't know about you, but God's been too good to me. God's been too good to me. He's blessed me way too much. He's brought me through some deep waters, all right? I'm done with that stuff. I'm done with that stuff. How about you? How about you? Have you listened to him? Does he speak to you? Now, I'll be honest. When I say speaking to you, I'm talking about speaking to you out of this book, all right? I'm talking about right here through this book, through the Holy Spirit's leading. Does he speak to you? To guide you, do that. Hey, sometimes, you know, he nudges me. When we're taking an offering, sometimes they go, put it in. Put it in, all right? I mean, you know, just God works on my heart. Do this. So what do you do? Well, you ought to give, all right? Whatever it is, you just do what he says, all right? Have you heard him? Have you observed him? Seen what he's doing? What he has done? What he is, he's still doing it. He's still doing it. I'm telling you, I look and I think about Ephraim. Ephraim says, what have I to do anymore with the idols? That I'm done with that. I've gone down that road. I've gone down that road. I'm done with that. Why? Because I got a hold of something better. I got a hold of something better. I'll be honest with you, friend. I don't understand God's people that serve the Lord for a while and then turn their back on him. Amen. I don't understand it. I've seen that in life. That's another thing about being a preacher's kid. Yeah, growing up in church, thing about being a preacher and a pastor and being just been in church years and years and years. You've watched people at one time served the Lord, loved the Lord, followed the Lord, observed him, faithful to him, and boy, something happened, something comes along, or they just drifted. Drifted away. And now, boy, they never darken the door of the church. I'm thinking about that, and they've gone back into sin? I mean, you know, how do you, after you've known the Lord and you've heard him and you've observed what he's done, how do you go back to that Billy Bob's life? How in the world you go back to that kind of stuff? Man, people do it. I mean, I don't understand it. I'll tell you. It ought to be, our testimony ought to be, nope, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Done with it. Don't want any more. Yeah, I tried that. Been down that road. Nope. Hey, I'll be honest with you. You say, preacher, how deep in sin do you get? In the sense of the way the world talks, not very, hardly any. But I've seen it. I've seen it. And I think, I want nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. Hey, I've seen the old drunk staggering down the road. I've seen that. I don't want anything to do with that. I'm done, man. Where's the attraction? Where's the attraction? Look around you. Some of the best people in the world right here. And yet you'd be like the guy that I visited one time and witnessed to. Noticed he had a tattoo, and it's kind of strange looking when I mentioned it to him, and he said, I got it in prison. He said, it's a prison tattoo. And I said, why were you in prison? Look, I don't mind asking questions, you know. I said, what were you doing in prison? He said, well, I killed a guy. He said, we got in a fight outside Billy Bob's. Seriously. got in a fight outside Billy Bob's, and in the course of the fight, he died. And I went to prison for several years for it. Yeah, you'd swap this crowd for that crowd? There's no way. There is no way. Hey, I like a good ball game, but I've had beer spilled on me at Ranger Stadium. No thanks. No thanks. I don't want any more. I'd rather be in this crowd. I'd rather run with God's crowd. Hey, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'll go talk to them. I'll try to witness to them. Man, I'm not running with them. Nope. No, sir. They don't have anything that's attractive to me. Nothing. God's been too good. I'm done with it. How about you? Heavenly Father, would you help us to see tonight what a blessing it is, what a thrill it is to be a child of God? And Lord, help us to understand those things that we sometimes look and long for, they're not good for us. Lord, just help us to listen to you. Just listen to what you've got to say. Lord, help us to have the wisdom to observe as you deal with people. And Lord, in truth, just think about how good you've been to us. How you've blessed, how you've sustained us, how you've taken us through some tough experiences. Lord, help us to say, like Ephraim, I'm done with that old life. I'm not going back because I've heard him and I've observed him. Done too much for me. Lord, would you just help us to have that testimony? I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand tonight? Sing the invitation hymn if the Lord deals with you. If you need to come, the altar's open. You know, one of the things we don't do near enough is thank God for what he's done for us.